This is Culture and Conversations. I'm your host, Jamison Smallwood, and I'm about to make you a part of the conversation. Let's get it. So glad that you chose to be a part of the conversation with me. I've got a great show planned for you. I've got up next my friend Janae Lewis as we sit down and chat about her experience helping adults to complete their education by getting GEDs. These are people who were failed by the traditional education system, and she's got great stories and a great perspective to relate to us as a part of the conversation. Also, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience with my teachers and bring you guys into my world about some of the things that help form me and make me into the person that you hear today. Up next on the Culture and Conversations podcast. Welcome to Culture and Conversations. I am your host, Jamison Smallwood, and we are going to bring you into the world of education, and in particular, the world of helping adults get their GEDs. We don't oftentimes hear about these people because they are working on something that most of us just take for granted, a high school diploma. But my friend Janae Lewis, who will be up next on the Culture and Conversations podcast, she is someone who actually works as an educator helping these adults complete their high school education. And I wanted to give her an opportunity to share her story, to relay her perspectives, and bring that to you on Culture and Conversations. And when I was talking to Janae, it really brought to mind some of the experiences I had as a student in school with my teachers. And I had teachers, you know, luckily, who were invested in me for the most part. I had some that I probably didn't connect with on that level, but I had a lot of great teachers who encouraged me to be a good student, who encouraged me to be smart, who saw my potential as a student, and who gave me opportunities to express myself, even at the expense sometimes of the order and the behavior of the class. But I am so grateful, starting in kindergarten, that I had teachers who, you know, were awesome and open-minded, and they encouraged me to be smart. And one of the things that really happened, I got to give my father credit for this, is that, you know, when I was getting ready to go to school, he would sit me down and, you know, weeks in advance and make me go through some of the basic material that he knew I would be exposed to in kindergarten. You know, I knew how to write my name when I went to kindergarten. I knew how to read my name when I went to kindergarten. I knew the alphabet. I knew numbers. And it was such a step forward in my preparation so that when I got to school, it was just a matter at that point of figuring out some of the more advanced things that I was going to get exposed to in kindergarten. I was already ahead of my class. And because of that, I was one of the smartest students in my class. And I went on to remain that way throughout school. You know, my kindergarten teacher, her name was Miss Hancock, and I never forget that name was so funny to me. It sounded so funny to me, Miss Hancock. It just sounded foreign because that was the first person who I had a responsibility to. That was the first person I had accountability to outside of my home. And you know, she was a great teacher. You know, she would challenge me. She would give me work to do, and she expected me to be a good student. She expected big things from me educationally. And she just was someone who was very formative in those early years of my life and made an impression upon me that, you know, carried forward into the rest of my pursuit of education all the way through my college degree. You know, I also had some teachers who I came across, especially when I got to, got to high school, that were really, impactful teachers. You know, I remember I had a teacher in high school. Her name was Miss Troutman. She was a very good teacher. She would, you know, really, you know, help me understand, you know, social studies and politics and just, you know, people in general and taught that, you know, that material in such an engaged but also a very disciplined way where, you know, she expected us to, you know, not to get lost in a bunch of nonsense and goof off in our class, but she really wanted us to learn and grow. Also, I had a teacher by the name of Miss Harper. You know, Miss Harper was a wonderful teacher. You know, she was one of my English teachers, and Ms. Harper wasn't just a teacher in the sense of, you know, okay, let me get you, make sure you get this grammar right, and let me make sure that you get the structure of a 5-paragraph essay or a 3-point essay, you know, correct, and, you know, the thesis and the your 3 points and, you know, conclusion, all that stuff. She really was adamant about the aesthetic of English, the language, the power and the beauty that it could express when mastered well. And she always encouraged not only us to write, but she expanded our brains and our minds and our perspectives to appreciate the beauty of literature. And I got to really thank her for that, because she's one of the reasons that, you know, I developed a habit or hobby, if you will, of writing poetry. You know, she showed me the power and the beauty of language, and she was also a very I think elegant is the right word. You know, she was a very elegant woman, where there was a sophistication to her that came through in how she taught and the material and how she conveyed it. So, you know, Ms. Harper was a wonderful teacher, and I had the privilege of bumping into her a couple months ago, almost a year ago now, I think. And she just was a joy to be a student, you know, in her class. It was just a joy to be a student in her class. And I think a lot of the stuff that I'm doing with this podcast is a result of her encouraging me to understand the power that communication and language has. And, you know, that's the blessing of having a great teacher. You know, and also one teacher that I can't forget to mention is Miss McCall. Miss McCall was a wonderful teacher. She was my math teacher, and she just embraced, you know, that part of my brain. And, you know, she gave me an opportunity to be a part of the math team. I wasn't even that great of a math team, you know, participant. I just was faithful, you know, and I just was engaged, and I was really supportive of the team. And I competed, but I just wasn't a great math student. You know, I really wasn't, you know, not at that level of math. You know, I understand math. I can do math. And, you know, even as an engineer in my day job, I use math a lot, you know, when it presents itself, I understand it. But at the same time, you know, she was someone who really nurtured that side of me and, you know, gave me an opportunity to participate, because I actually had a teacher who I won't mention, who actually sort of discouraged me in math and in the math team. And, you know, when I was in middle school, so when I got to high school and had a chance to be a part of the math team, you know, Miss McCall was just so welcoming to me that it really gave me encouragement and made me feel like she was a part of my story in being successful. So, you know, I got a chance to see her too a couple of years ago now, and it was a wonderful time just catching up with her. And I just have so much to say and so many people to thank, you know, who were a part of my educational journey. And I think that's why when I had opportunity, obviously, to speak to Janae and give her a chance to be a part of the conversation and share, you know, her experience helping adults get GEDs, it was fascinating to listen to her bring her perspective as a teacher into the conversation and just share her heart with you guys. And it's something that you're going to listen to and you'll hear it come through, that it's not just about getting people to understand a particular, you know, material or subject matter, but it's about motivating people to believe that they can be the best that they can be. And that's really what my teachers did. You know, I had another teacher who I almost forgot, you know, Mr. Miller. He was a great teacher. You know, he was another teacher who really believed in me and encouraged me to think and thought that I was smart and really, you know, spoke positively to me to help shape my mind into thinking of myself as a good student, as a great student, as a student with potential and ability. And those things, those types of influences matter, because when you're in a world where people around you begin to try to be negative and try to force doubts upon you, you need people to believe, you need to draw upon those experiences of people believing in you in order to sometimes overcome those moments where you don't believe in yourself. Janae, she tells her story about working with these students, and she does a wonderful job of just inspiring them to try to be the best they can be. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it up next on the Culture and Conversations podcast. I got a chance to catch up with my friend, Janae Lewis, who is an adult education instructor. How are you doing, Janae?
I am awesome.
That's good. That's good. Janae, you caught my attention because you actually help adults who have not gotten the most out of their traditional educational route go back to school to get their GED.
That is what I do on a daily basis. Yes.
Cool. Why did you decide to start helping adults get their GED?
In all honesty, it happened by chance. I was just graduated from college and I was looking for a job. And I was like, okay, I gotta find something because I had a kid while I was in college, and it was like, life keeps going on. So I was like, I have to find something that I can do to make substantially more than what I make right now just working retail. And I saw the job post, and I was like, okay, adult education, that's easy. That's me teaching GED, graduating from high school. I was like, I was pretty good in high school. So let me, try for this, and it's going to be easy. I'm just going to teach people how to add and subtract, multiply, divide, maybe read a little bit. And, I ended up getting the job, and it ended up being way more than what I thought. It was a little bit more than added subtracting, and it was a little bit more than me just teaching traditional students how to do it. It's more so me working with people that's from age 16 all the way up to 70s or 80s. There are no limitations to how old you can be to want to learn. So, I mean, it really was one of those, this job is available. I started off part-time and then moved to full-time not long ago. And it was kind of like, oh, wow, I really love what I do. I really love this. So, yeah.
You said you were pretty good in high school. You were the high school valedictorian of your class, weren't you?
That is correct. In Brooks County, 2009. Woo-hoo.
That's
That'd be
a
10 years post-graduation.
yeah, that's a little bit better than just pretty good. That's that humble brag. Like, yeah, I did okay in school, I just was the best student in my class, nothing big,
Nothing major, nothing major.
I think that's interesting about the age range. I did not know that it was such a large age range. You said 18 to age 70 is some of the students, right?
Yes, six. My youngest, can be 16. Oldest, right now, I think, up in, 70s. You can go back. We've had students within adult education that graduated 85. So it's really no age limit. It's just if you didn't get a high school diploma, you can go back and you can get it. So it's awesome stories out there about students graduating after, being out of school 40, 50, 60 years. So yes, there's no age limit. Just do it.
Well, let me ask this. What's some of the age? What's like one of the oldest students that you've helped? You don't have to give the specific age, but give me kind of a general sense of how old this student was.
I want to say on average, probably in their 50s.
Wow.
And being in their 50s, I call them my seasoned students that I work with because they're in that age range of 50. So a lot of them treat me like the daughter that they have or probably wish they did have. So it's more so like a mom-daughter relationship. And every place that I teach or that I work with students, I always have to know the dynamics of who I'm working with. So I find that working with students that are in their 50s, I can't teach them like I would teach, 18 or 17-year-old. You have to kind of be a little, you have to tread differently. I can't, fuss or do things like that because it comes off different. So I do a lot of making sure that they know that they are right. And if they are wrong, it's like a way of tiptoeing around it so I can still get my point across. But I would say in the 50-year range is, pretty much our mean for that older generation.
So what I'm interested in, Janae, is what are some of the reasons or examples of reasons why people wouldn't have gotten a high school diploma who are getting their
Oh wow.
GED?
And it's so many. Like some people school wasn't pushed. In households it was, the last thing on the list to do. It was, I gotta go to work. As mom, I gotta go to work. You need to go to school. But nobody was making sure that, little Timmy went to school. And then when Timmy got to school, especially in the single parent home, nobody was able to go to the school and make sure that he was doing good. If he wasn't doing good, nobody had the time to take out and say, Timmy, why are you failing in this subject? It was more so, you know, he got home, maybe somebody was there to watch him. And if it was somebody there, it might have been a grandmother or grandfather who didn't have the resources to help them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in today's age, the way that education has changed so much, it's hard. Like, the parents have to learn how to do what they're doing in school now, because, you know, students get home and it's like, mommy still can't help them. So I think that's one reason. Another reason, pregnancy. I mean, that's always been, you know, a big thing. Mm-hmm. Getting pregnant while you're in middle school, high school, and then having to kind of figure out how you're going to deal. And everybody doesn't have the support. For some situations, you have special cases where it could have been an accident or, you know, like, you know, something happening that was beyond your control. But in a lot of situations, it was a choice. And in some situations, it was, honestly, the students being in elementary school and middle school and nobody taking the time out to write those IEPs or to write to help the child and help them learn how to read. Just in general, I mean, for third grade, I don't know if you've heard this, but they base prison beds. And I mean, I've seen articles on it, so I'm not sure, you know, 100% how much fact is in it. But they say they that's how they figure out how many prison beds they need based on the number of third graders who can't read. So you're saying from third grade, if that's what they're basing it on, and you think about how many students can't read, that could be a lot. And then some teachers, you know, take the time to say, okay, well, let me figure out how to make it where you can read. And others is like, I mean, what can I do? You're in third grade now. You know, that's a first grade, second grade skill. So you have some situations where they just pass them along and they just get so far. And then when they get to that point where they're far enough, it's kind of like, that's it. And then for others, it's like, okay, what can I do?
Yeah, no, I've heard the same, you know, the same anecdote about the prisons are being designed based on the, you know, numbers of students that can't read or, you know, aren't being able to, you know, be promoted to the next grade. You know, I've heard that same, you know, anecdote. It's amazing to me that, you know, they're still, that with all the energy and efforts we put into education, that we're still finding that there are students that, like you're describing, that are not able to be successful in traditional education. But I think it goes back to the heart of what you said, like all these problems that you described in these students' lives, they don't necessarily have anything to do with what's going on in the classroom as much as it is how their, you know, what their environment is, where, what's their support system, what type of family do they come from, what type of structure do they have around them in the home, or the lack of structure they have around them in the home, or if they have things, events that happen such as like teen pregnancy or, you know, those, or maybe, you know, like those are the types of things that need to be addressed if you want to it seems to me those are the type of things you want to address if you want to make education more effective in the traditional setting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish as just an African-American community that we would encourage our kids that there are more jobs than for men to be CDL drivers or for women to be nurses. There's so many other jobs out there that people don't even look into because it's like, oh, you know, when the parent says, oh, my daughter's going to be a nurse, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, she made it. Or, oh, my son's going to start driving trucks. Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of money. And then when you say, oh, my gosh, mommy, I really want to be a teacher. Or, mommy, I want to be a sales representative. And their mommies are like, what? What is that? Like, why do you want to be that? Don't you want to? And it's like we get so caught up in, you know, titles that we forget that kids are kids. Like, one day my daughter might want to be an astronaut. The next day she might be like, mommy, I just want to dance. Mm-hmm. You know, she loves cheerleading and things like that. So I feel like we have to get to the point where we're encouraging them while they're young so they keep that same momentum because their mind is going to change. So I really think that's important, especially for our students who drop out, because once they drop out, we don't just want them to finish and get, you know, a GED. We want them to go past that. Mm-hmm. Like, we want you to go to school. We want you to get a job. We want you to be successful. But then that's you're talking about a 40-year-old or 50-year-old who is like, okay, I got my GED. Now what? At 40 and 50, you know, it's like, okay, let me encourage you to still want to go back to school. Let's encourage you to do more. And, you know, some of them are like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm making it on what I have, the little bit I have, and I'm okay with that. So it's like trying to wake up that teenager or that, you know, kindergarten that was in them that drew the picture of them being a teacher or being a doctor, trying to wake that back up at 40 and 50 and tell them that it's not over. Like, you still can accomplish those dreams. So, I mean, it's very interesting. I do more motivating, I think, than teaching at times, because, I mean, we have to, like, I'm teaching right now Punnett Square to, you know, students in that age range, and they're like, a Punnett Square? What is that? Like, what is genetics? So, it's different. It's different.
Yeah, now what is a Punnett Square? Is that where we draw the, is that where we do the cross products of the different genetic traits to see what the, see what they would be where you've got the, what is it? The dominant trait versus the recessive trait. And you try to see if it's going to express itself.
There you go. There you go. Wake up that inner brilliance inside of you. Yes, that's exactly right.
Excuse me while I flex, the biggest muscle I've got, my brain. I was like, Punnett Square, what is that? Oh, okay. I think I remember. We called them something. I think we called them something else because wasn't it Mendel? Was it Gregor Mendel?
Yeah, Gregor Mendel.
Yeah.
There you go.
We called them something else. And I think it may have been always Punnett Squares, but we called them Mendel Squares or something like that. That's kind of why I got confused by it, but... You know, let's get aside all the nerd geeking out there. you said that you motivate them. You know, that's what I think. That's what something that's fascinating to me is that you're not just a teacher. You do sound like a motivational sort of life coach where you're telling them that they've got possibilities outside of just getting a GED, that they can go to college and that they can get a career and that they can, you know, educate themselves to the point where they're able to pursue other opportunities with their life.
Yes. Absolutely. Beyond the education realm right now and the way that we are just in society in general, where we are, you know, just growing, the work aspect of education is almost above education. Like, they want everybody. I mean, you see it in food stamps. You see it with housing. You see it with all these different dynamics. People on probation, they don't care that you are, you know, just here. They want you to be here. And if you're an able-bodied individual, that's what I think, like, food stamps and places are calling it right now. Because, I have connections, you know, just from hearing people talk about it and things like that. But if you're an able-bodied individual, they want you to be working. So you're talking about an uneducated person who it's hard for them to find a job. And when they do find a job, most of them are lying on applications saying they have a GED. And then you have some jobs that are now going back because, you know, management is changing. People are actually retiring from jobs, or they're getting that mandatory, you got to leave at this point type retirement. Mm-hmm. And the people who are coming in to take those positions are saying, hey, we are cleaning house. You said you got a GED or a high school diploma, and this year we need you to produce it. So, you know, when that happens and you don't have a high school diploma or a GED, what do you do? Mm-hmm. That's your livelihood. If you work 20 and 30 years, where if you leave, I mean, you're not going to have that 401k or whatever you had, you know, invested into that time. So work is just as equally important for our students as getting a GED. So it's really going GED and beyond.
Wow.
But I have to motivate them just to read a passage, to, you know, get in a quiet place where they're reading more than Facebook statuses. That's my motto. In my classroom, like, we got to get to where we're reading more than just the Facebook status. Start making friends with news networks. Find you somebody who posts not just short statuses, you know, about what they're doing for the day, but find you someone who posts, like, really some content so that you can start reading more. Because most of our time is spent on social media. And, you know, if the status is so long, it's kind of like, yeah, I'll read that later, or I'm just going to like it anyways. Mm-hmm. So I encourage my students all the time to find something else. And, I mean, the newspaper in general, I tell them, you know, the front of the newspaper is written on a lower lexile. Lexile is kind of the reading level. The front of the page is written on a low level because that's what a lot of people read. Well, you're not going to get into the part where it's like high school level reading until you open the newspaper and go to where it says continued on page 4B. When you go on page 4B, that's when you're going to start getting that higher thinking reading, that critical thinking reading. But the front page, I mean, everybody should be, you know, can read it. So I encourage my students to go beyond the front page, read the rant and rave, read more than just what that says so they can get more out of it. So, I mean, it's interesting. And I know one thing for certain, in my classroom, I always give them a quote every day. There's a different quote on my board for them to read. I mean, it could be something by Nelson Mandela. It could be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It could be, I mean, just anybody. Some of them are just, you know, anonymous, but just encouraging them that, you know, by reading this quote, you have something to go on for today. And most of them write it down in their notes. So you got notes with a quote at the top. But, I mean, it's an encouragement. They need it. I mean, some people, that's all the encouragement they get. So...
Yeah, I think that's something that is underrepresented in the education debates in this country, is that teachers are doing more than, or the good teachers are doing more than just getting up and explaining material, but they're actually trying to motivate the student to pursue education and to pursue the opportunities that learning makes available to them, you know, through their education and their awareness of what's going on in the world. And, you know, that's something that we just don't hear talked about, because we often hear it talked about being test scores and metrics and how did the student perform on the, you know, against this, you know, standardized, you know, expectation. But we don't ever talk about, you know, how are we motivating students? How are we, you know, touching students' hearts so that they want to, you know, grow and become better students and also better people? Because if you motivate a student to learn, then that opens up doors for them career-wise. It opens up, you know, their perspective politically. That opens up their perspective socially, because they have the ability to ingest information and then make critical and cognitive decisions based on that.
Absolutely.
You were talking, Janae, about you're talking about one of your students, and you were saying how this particular student was telling you that you were helping them to read the Bible better because of you educating them in school.
Yes. That's their goal. You know, being, you know, an older individual, not being able to do a whole lot and just needing to a reason to keep going, to be able to say, okay, the reason why I'm here, the reason why I'm alive is because you are helping me be able to pronunciate the word thou, is one of those things. I mean, just, you know, last week trying to say ashamed, we're looking at each other and I'm like, shame. And he's like, I'm like, okay, let's try to find something else. So, you know, breaking down those words for them just be able to read the Bible is something that, I mean, it encourages him to just want to keep going. It encourages him to want to wake up. And I'm talking about, this is somebody who's not in the best of health, but he, you know, told me, like, the reason why I'm still here, the reason why I still want to get up, the reason why I continue to go to treatments and things like that is because you're going to help me to read this entire, you know, Bible and dissect it a little bit more. And it's not a ministering thing as in, like, you know, I'm preaching, you know, and teaching. Mm-hmm. It's more so of a, I just want to be able to say these words. I want to be able to go home, and when I get home, when they call me at Bible study to read a passage, I can read it. So, I mean, when I tell you amazing, like, that is, like, rewarding beyond. And that's what it is. Like, I meet people that's all they want. Granted, we want everybody, you know, we meet to, you know, get high school diplomas, to get GEDs, to just, you know, go beyond. But you're going to meet some individuals where it's just learning. Like, the reason why some people keep going is because they get to learn. And if me teaching you how to read a passage is the reason why you're going to want to wake up every morning, you best believe I'm going to teach you how to read a passage.
Well, I mean, I think you're helping people get a sense of dignity back, because one of the things that happens inevitably when you're undereducated, or, you know, you don't have as much education as you need to be successful, you inherently learn how to hide from certain things like reading in public and opportunities to learn and grow through different, you know, sources of information. And, you know, in our community, in the African-American community, especially in South Georgia, church is a big part of a lot of people's lives. And a lot of people, you know, want to be in church and have the opportunity to open up their Bible and access the material and to be able to participate in services by reading and participating through the oral recitation of scriptures. And they don't get that if they don't have the educational background that they need to be successful with that. So, you know, for him, I can see why he would be so happy about learning how to read better, because for him, that would probably have been something that obviously was a goal of his, or something he felt alienated by, because he didn't have the education to give him the foundation to do those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was a person that worked his entire life, went into the military. I mean, like, he's done everything that you could think of, you know, wanted to do. And, you know, he was telling, you know, he's paid off his house. Like, it's nothing that he hasn't done to the point where now it's like, okay, now I have time for me. My children are all grown. They're all successful. And now I have time for me. And this is one thing I want to be able to do. I want to be able to read the Bible. So for someone to tell you that and you have opportunity to help them, it's a blessing in itself.
Wow.
For sure.
Wow. What would you say to somebody who, you know, may be hearing this and they're saying to themselves that they're thinking about going back to school and getting the GED? You know, what would you tell them to motivate them to get up and make it happen?
I would lead with one of my favorite quotes ever. If you give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but if you teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. And I mean that in everything. You have to get to the point where it's like, I understand I can take this, you know, job making minimum wage, or I can take this where I'm able to refer my child to get help from somebody else. But it gives you so much gratification when you're able to say, I was able to help my daughter with that math problem. I was able to teach my daughter how to read. I was able to help my son and motivate him to keep going. I did this because he can, so that he can, or so that she can. And, you know, I mean, I would tell them, you know, it's not the end. You have to remember why you started. And I tell my students that all the time. You have to remember why you started. One thing that I did last year was I had my students to write a letter to themselves when they started in my class. And the reason why I had to write a letter to themselves, it was a letter to, you know, fuss at yourself, whatever you needed to say to yourself to when they quit coming, I mailed the letter out to them so that they can remember why they started. Not so much because it was about me, but it has to be about you. What we do is 20% of us actually teaching the material is 80% of the effort of you putting into saying, this is something I want more than anything.
Wow.
So I would definitely encourage them to do so. One of my students, to see her, you know, graduate, and when she graduated, she now can tell her daughter, you can't drop out now because I got mine. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but to come from, you know, one of the housing authorities and to, you know, have a daughter who's been around so much stuff, so many different things, you know, seeing drug transactions, seeing things happen in front of her, seeing the fight, seeing the bullying, going through, you know, being bullied. And so what I asked her, she was the top of her class. This little girl was, she was like top of her class. She had highest grade in science, highest grade in math, highest grade in language arts. And I looked at her and I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she looked back at me and she said, I want to be the manager of Burger King. Not because that was the job she necessarily wanted, but that's because that's the most she had been exposed to.
Yeah.
Her mom didn't have her GED. Her mom didn't have a lot that she could show for her as, like, you know, being this, you know, successful person. I know she loved her mom from the bottom of her heart, but her mama wanted to show her that there's so much more out there. So for her to get her GED and for her to be graduated and now working and making more money and things like that, that's why we do what we do. And we use those examples with students all the time. Like, this isn't the end. I mean, this is literally just the beginning. One of our top students said one time in his speech, he said, be who you wanted when you were younger. And that's true. You have to be who you needed when you were younger. You have to be that person. So every day, wake up, put your clothes on, put on your best face, go to class, get what you need. And I'm always for one where the classroom is where we make mistakes. The test is where we want to be perfect. But in the classroom, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I make mistakes. I'm the worst speller you will probably ever meet. And I'm always spell checking on my students. They're like, wait, you spelled that wrong. Why you put that up there? And I take that in because them knowing that I make mistakes and because I'm human too, lets them know I'm not above you. I'm really here because I want to help you. So I just want them to, you know, go. Like, find your nearest, you know, program where they're offering GED classes. I mean, they're out there. I mean, Google, everywhere, Facebook. I mean, you have to put in the effort. I saw one thing that I wish and I pray that more people who have the outlet to get it out there about GED and adult education and people going back and encouraging, I wish they would use it, you know, even more, because, I mean, education is where it starts. It is literally where it starts. And I know some people that can be very successful without a GED, but I want them to know that having it fills that void in your head where you don't have to lie anymore and say, yes, I have a GED, or, girl, you know, I dropped out, but I'm good. No, don't do that to yourself. You're selling yourself short by doing that. Like, get up, get out there and do it.
So what does it cost in general for a student to go get a GED? You know, is there a monetary cost for the class, or is it just a matter of them filling out an application and there are free programs that are available to them?
And most GED programs, I know with Governor Deal, most of the programs, especially in the state of Georgia, are free. It's really just about you just finding where to go. So definitely most of them are free. Most of the time you only have to pay for your test. So just, you know, having to put in money for a test, that's, I mean, that's nothing, you know. And sometimes there's scholarships. I know Walmart right now, if you work at Walmart and don't have a GED, they pay for you to get your GED. They pay for your family members to get your GED. All you have to do is put in your code if you work at Walmart.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's free. So, I mean, it's not something that's, like, looked down upon. It's something that people are encouraging because they're like, hey, we got, you know, these customer service positions. We have these positions at Walmart where you can make $75,000 being a area manager at a Walmart. It's like an assistant store manager or something like that. You can make $75,000.
Yeah, but
get your GED, like, and they're going to pay for your GED. Like, how cool is that? Like, really?
No, that's true. That's true.
But in Georgia, like, most of them are going to be free. Sometimes it depends on state to state situations, but most of them are free programs, and you just go and you'll contact those local offices. I always tell people be very fearful of places where they say it's $500 or $1,000 for you get a GED. Some of those programs are not real. They are programs where people are kind of just conning people out of money. If they're sending you a test through the mail, don't go with those. Go with the ones at mygd.com. That's where you go. You create an account. You can go and take practice tests on there. You can go and sign up to take the real test. Like, it's there. Mygd.com is where you go.
Wow. Wow. So I think in wrapping up, as we come to the end of this episode and this conversation, you know, what do you enjoy most about helping students get their GEDs?
I enjoy seeing their faces when they learn something they've never learned before. My students would tell anybody, like, what's wrong with her? She's got to drink coffee or be like light candy or something. Because my face, when somebody learns, I taught 2 weeks ago, we taught algebraic expressions. Right now we're working on linear equations. We talked about evaluating equations and things like that. And you know, seeing students who have never heard of algebraic expression, or they're like, oh no, I can do all math, but not algebra. Seeing their faces when they get it, and it's like a light bulb goes off, or seeing them read a 12-page paper and be able to answer the 10 questions that comes after that, seeing their face and seeing how excited they are about learning makes me just feel like, oh my gosh, like my day was on it. It's kind of that feeling that you get in church when they say, okay, if this sermon touches one person, my job here is, you know, complete. Like, somebody got something. I mean, it's that feeling. Like, I get joy seeing other people learn. Like, I love when people get GEDs. I love when people, you know, move up. But, I mean, everybody that I see may not get a GED. But having you learn one thing from me, you know, is just enough. Like, that's enough. Even if it wasn't from me and it was from someone else that's in the class, that makes me feel way more happy than, you know, anything else. So just seeing them learn. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, and only thing I would add to that in terms of just encouraging people who are listening, or encouraging people who know people who need to go get their GED, is that education is life-changing if you learn the right stuff. You know, there's a growing movement, unfortunately, where we're discouraging people in some ways of going to school and learning, because we say, well, that's not a guaranteed success. I mean, a guaranteed path to success, you know, economically, is to go to school. And that's true if you're going to school for certain things. But the key piece when we start talking about people who have no high school diploma, you know, to, you know, now getting a diploma, a high school diploma, and then also having now the opportunity to go to school, these people are so far locked out oftentimes economically because of their lack of education, that to go and get an education will help them grow economically into, you know, contributing members of society and bring a certain dignity to themselves that they don't have. And we need to encourage people to still pursue education, because if you get educated in the right things, then you'll be able to, you know, pursue opportunities economically. You'll be able to be qualified for jobs that you may have always wanted to have, but weren't qualified for. And at the same time, you'll be able to help people not only in your home, but also in your community, because knowledge is transferable. If you know something, you can pass it on to somebody else through education. So, you know, I think, Janae, people like you are, you know, doing awesome work, because, you know, you're actually helping people unlock their minds from the captivity of their own lack of education. And it's a powerful thing when you get a mind that's engaged and teachers are oftentimes the ones who flip that switch and help us to turn our minds on and open up our minds to the possibilities that of the world around us and what we can be if we would only think and apply ourselves. So thank you for doing what you're doing with your career and your work and helping people get their GEDs.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We want to thank Janae Lewis for being a part of the conversation as she continues her great work of helping adults to get their GEDs and finish their high school education. We want to thank you guys for being a part of the conversation. As usual, if you want to reach out to the show, you can do so on Facebook. We have a page, Culture and Conversations. On Instagram, Culture and Conversations. And there's an email address, cultureandconversations@gmail.com. Thank you guys for all that you've been doing. Thank you for sharing the content on your social media. Thank you guys for liking the content. Thank you guys for visiting the page and interacting with the posts that I'm putting out there. Thank you guys for doing what you do to make Culture and Conversations a success. I need you guys to also go and do me some favors. I need you to go on iTunes and find Culture and Conversations, the podcast, and I need you to review it. I need you to tell people that you listen to the show because it helps iTunes rank the show higher so that we have more visibility within iTunes. If you use Apple's podcast app, you can do the same thing through that from your iPhone. Also, maybe you're a Google user or Android user. Use Google Play Music and do the same thing. Find Culture and Conversations in Google Play Music and leave a review. And if you do so, then what I need you to do, leave the review and let me know. You can do so on social media, hitting me up through the Facebook page or the Instagram page, or you can send me an email letting me know that you left a review, because I have show swag. I want to send you a mug thanking you for your review. So I'm going to take a look at the reviews, and depending on how many I get, I'm going to pick some people and send them mugs. So these are limited edition mugs that are a part of my thank you to you for being a part of the Culture and Conversations podcast family. So as usual, thank you guys once again for being a part of the conversation. And if you want a mug, go leave me a review in iTunes. Go leave me a review in Google Play Music. Or tell somebody else to, right? Help me out. Help me reach people. As always, I'm Jameson Smallwood. And I had a lot of fun doing this episode. You guys are so wonderful. Peace!